This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
From 16 teams to 18s to 4.
There is an acceptable amount of brackets that you can fill out, and somebody on this show breaks that rule every year.
Don't exaggerate. You're going to throw me under the bus.
This is a finals week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Claussen Heating and Air Conditioning. Their experts are focused on one thing, your comfort. Schedule your free estimate at ClaussenHeating.com. It's hard to stop a train.
Somebody asked me if I was going to be satisfied. Kind of challenged me. You're probably satisfied with Sweet 16, couple wins. I almost wanted to jump through the bone and knock him out. These guys aren't satisfied.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Good enough is the enemy of great.
The Fan.
Right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, that is Andy Dirt Johnson across the way.
What is happening?
Good morning.
Merry New Year, everybody. We made it. Happy opening day.
Oh, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Merry New Year. Baseball's back, baby.
That's not good.
It doesn't work. No. Merry New Year. No.
Yeah, you gotta have a more jovial.
Merry New Year.
You're getting closer.
That felt a little bit better.
Yeah. It's kind of early.
Merry New Year. It's a little early for impressions, and I'm not good at impressions. What do you want from me
it's
here?
Okay, I started the show, and I think I instantly lost my voice. I sounded nasally. So,
happy
you know.
Thursday.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, I'm fired up. I love opening day. Of all the things that were depressing to me in the last year, like sports-wise, I think, like, you know me. College basketball's good. If my team's involved, I'm fired up. If they're not, eh. Losing the NCAA tournament sucked, but that didn't quite do it to me last year.
Okay.
The two that did it to me were not having baseball on opening day was depressing as all hell for me. You want to know how depressing? You don't know how sad my life was last year?
Based on what you're wearing today, I'm going to say it was pretty sad. You walked in, looked like you came out of the Giants bullpen.
Oh, I'm ready to go, baby. You need a righty that throws about 64 miles an hour. I got you, okay? A terrible curveball, maybe mix in a changeup. I'll help you out, all right?
It's okay. We're hanging a banner today. Well, no, not today.
Quit living in the past, Weigart. Nobody cares.
Move
Quit
on.
Living in the past,
gonna
all right?
Gonna hit 12 home year. Runs Nobody at cares. Coors Canaveral today.
But this is how depressing my life was last year. One of my favorite things to do in life is to mow the lawn and listen to baseball games in my headphones. Like, I know that makes me sound incredibly
God,
old.
You're a loser.
But that makes that like, of all the things that I can do in life, sunny day, mowing the lawn outside, ball game on in the headphones. Can't top that. You know what I had to do last year in April, May, June? I would go on to YouTube and find old baseball games. And because they throw whole games up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I would get them up on my phone and I would listen to classic baseball games on my phone. That's how depressing my life was. So never taking it for granted. Fired up. It's here. The other one was the Masters. When the Masters didn't get played, that sucked.
But we didn't know if they'd played at all last year.
We didn't. They postponed. You didn't have a date right away. That sucks. So I'm soaking this one in today.
I don't. You know, I think that makes you a loser, but I can't really knock you for it because on this show, I openly talked about how I watched old Braves baseball games.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I'm not going to make fun of you for that.
But it's a pretty big loser move.
I can't rewatch this one, though, because the Giants are playing the Mariners to open up. They're up in Seattle.
Yeah.
They're up at the Pink. And when they're in Seattle, I can't watch the Giants broadcast because of the stupid MLB blackout restrictions.
Why don't you just watch Sims?
I mean,
you get Simsy and
I'm not a big Sims.
Is Riz and Sims still doing the whole I do four innings, you do
I don't know
five
if, I don't know if they're flipping or Riz is just strictly staying with radio and it's Sims and Blowers on the TV.
They still got Goldsmith up there, too.
Ooh, Blowers.
See, I'm not a big Sims and Blowers guy.
I'm okay with Sims. His voice is great.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you he's the best play-by-play. Sure. I think if you got good pipes, you make up for what you lack in other areas.
You overlook the other areas of broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
He's
a dual sport guy too. He hosts an NBA show on Sirius XM.
He does.
And calls MLB games. It's a great gig.
I get the Mariners have been bad for a long time, so maybe that is just a byproduct of being a broadcaster for a bad team. I find him getting fired up about meaningless things a little annoying.
Well,
it'd be like a double in the third inning. Whoa, baby, it's a double!
How many times have you been excited on the air for something 1080's done where you're like, I couldn't care less, but we've been told, hey, we need you to drum this up.
I don't think I've ever shown Dave Sims enthusiasm. I can fake my enthusiasm, but I don't know if I've ever gone Dave Sims level.
Oh, I fake it all the time, baby.
Sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it, man.
Sometimes you need to fake it to make them feel better about it. You know what I mean? And much like many people do to each other in life and other aspects, I think that's what Dave Sims does for Mariner fans.
Yeah, it was great.
It's
honey.
A fake orgasm. He's like, hey, how about that? Hit up the middle.
We haven't made the playoffs in 20 years. Look at that. It's a single in the sixth inning.
I was born 5'7", not the best looking guy in the world. I'm a tad hefty.
That's true.
I can't get away with showing no effort. No, I just can't.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got to show effort. That's
why the boss puts it in all caps in an email. Dirt, need you to really put effort here.
Yeah, I got to show grit. I got to show determination. I am the prototypical.
Dave Sims of the fan?
I think I'm the prototypical white guy on the team. Like, you got to work hard. You know what I mean? You got to slap the floor. I'm wearing some knee pads.
Ooh, did you see the, I don't know. I don't want to transition out of baseball because I actually have one more thing I want to bring up. But did you see the Orlovsky thing on that note?
No, I did not.
He passed along on the McAfee show stuff he had, quote unquote, heard from NFL front office people about Justin Fields.
Oh, no.
And it was, kind of fell right into the proverbial... not a high motor guy, not a grinder, not a film gym rat guy.
Gym rat.
And that instantly sent a lot of backlash Dan Orlovsky's way yesterday because they're like, really? You had to do that with Fields and Mac Jones just gets the benefit of the doubt? Really?
We're going that. Mac Jones is the fat one and we're not going to question his work ethic. Justin Fields is like a sculpture and runs a 4.440, but he's lazy? Okay, that makes sense. Sure.
Look, Orlovsky, he's Orlovsky, okay? It's a very Orlovsky thing of him to say.
Yeah, we already got Mariner fan chiming in. They're in first place. You are. Hope springs eternal, baby. You're in first place currently.
Hey, I mean, never look at how you ended the year. Your start last season was amazing. You're like 13-2.
Yeah, we're getting out of the blocks. Everybody's in first place. That's a beautiful thing about opening day. Everybody has hope, and then it's gone in about a week, but enjoy it while it lasts.
Well, hope springs eternal for two teams on this show. One team, one guy's going to fake it for about 3 months and then give up, but two
just
teams.
Norm, in
that's
fact,
right.
Wow.
NLCS, baby.
That's right.
Rematch. Wow. Let's go.
Wow.
What's the basement like over there in your orange and black, huh?
Wow, we're going to the basement this year,
what's
huh?
What's that like?
Okay, get you three of these, huh? All right, let's get three.
Can you just tell them to stop living in the past?
Hey, now we're going to live in the past, okay? Get you three of these, all right? In the last decade, okay, I'm in the window here. I'm in the sweet spot.
They're working on three in a row, baby.
Three. Well
you should have
lost the first two.
You lost the first two.
Well, no,
if
I
you
mean, two
won,
more. I mean, they're
you're not
what,
winning
they're
two more. Just throw those out when you lost. Like, yeah, those don't count anymore.
Yeah, they're expected to win 104 games this year.
Swigart, do you want to make a bet?
I'm taking the under all day. I'll bet you right now. You want to take that under bet?
You take a season bet with this guy, and then I'll take a bet with you. They're not winning three in a row.
I would like to know, too, the Giants finished third in the NL West last year, ahead of the Rockies and the Diamondbacks.
Yeah,
so
they're finishing ahead of the Rockies.
Yeah, and the Diamondbacks this year.
I'm glad the Rockies had to do a fire sale for the Giants to do that.
But. Well, no one or not was actually on the team last year, so why don't you get your facts straight?
This is the one thing. I think this is the one thing.
Giants are going to be sneaky good this year, okay? Kevin Gausman, they got some prospects coming up.
This is the
Elliot Ramos is going to be up at some point.
That will piss him off the most of all the topic. Blazers.
Oh, yeah.
God, even Ducks football, we can disagree. This is the thing that legitimately, if I say the right sentence, He will not talk to me for 2 to 3 commercial breaks.
No, I'm not looking at you.
I don't know if you guys noticed, but the Giants are at the Dodgers Memorial Day weekend. I think we should have a show field trip.
Oh, that would be fun.
The Giants are at the Dodgers
Memorial Day weekend.
Trying to go up this weekend because they're opening in Seattle and that never happens.
Oh, did you end up doing that? We talked about
that. I looked at tickets, but they're only selling like 2,000 tickets or 3,000 tickets for the entire stadium.
Yeah.
And not easy to get your hands on.
I think if we let it go a little longer, it'll ramp up by the summer as more people get vaccinated and things hopefully improve.
Could have been 3 hours away to go to a game versus LA is a flight.
Sure. A little bit different. You know, I will say driving. The fear that I would have for both of your squads this year, and it's not much because you both got really good teams. The Dodgers obviously won the World Series last year.
Yeah, I'd love to hear this because I'll tell you, I'll counter with your fear.
You're in the toughest division in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, the Marlins made the playoffs. We're not acting like they're good. And then
Philly's got a ton of talent. The Mets just signed Lindor, and they got all their arms back if Syndergaard stays healthy and Stroman. And don't forget about Washington. Washington won the World Series 2 years ago. And so they're going to be much better than they were last year. There's not a gimme in that division. Now, maybe Miami falls off from where they were last year, and that was kind of a fluky year.
There's one thing that petrifies me in the NL West.
It's the San Diego Padres.
The Padres.
The Padres are
loaded. They went all in the offseason.
Absolutely loaded. Even with some of the injuries that they've suffered through and guys that they're going to be without, that is still a stacked roster.
Look, your fear is correct about my team. Swag is right about his. The reality is I know what the fear is. The fear is not necessarily the division. How many years in my life have the Atlanta Braves won the mother bleeping NL East and the NL East was supposed to be amazing, good, great, whatever?
1 for 15.
Mine. Okay. That was an unnecessary comment, but that is exactly my biggest fear.
He's riding high because his team won. It feels good, doesn't it? Doesn't it
feels
feel good?
Great.
Just to shove it into everybody's face.
We only blew a 3-1 lead in the NLCS.
Yeah, Justin, you have all the ropes. This
Justin
is all your
Mays,
fault.
Your fifth starter.
His cocky
David
attitude
Price
over there.
Can't even crack the starting rotation.
His smile and his stupid World Series shirt. This is all your fault. You know that? You big jerk. Look what you did. You had a 3-1 lead. You had a lead in the game, too.
Dude, we're perennial choke artists. Yeah. What do you want us to do about it?
If they would have lost in the NLCS last year, it would have been glorious. They were supposed to win it again. Yep. And instead,
it's a quadruple header on ESPN today, by the way.
Who are the four national TV games today?
Toronto Yankees at 10.
Okay.
Dodgers Rockies at 1.
The Rockies on national TV. Huh?
Are Braves Phillies on national TV
it's just
today?
A Dodger thing.
Well, let me see. Yeah, I know the A's and Astros is the late game.
Braves and Phillies are on ESPN Plus at noon.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah, Mets and Nationals at 4, and then Astros A's is your last
one. Dude,
I
think
7.
I'm going to get MLB TV this year.
You should. MLB TV is worth
great.
It.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Totally worth it.
I'm not going to watch anybody else's team.
Neither do I.
Good.
You just watch your team, man.
Yeah, but you're at least good at following the stats of all the players and stuff. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, fantasy baseball helps with that.
Yeah.
Because you got to keep an eye on guys and who's having a good year, that kind of stuff. But MLB TV, it's awesome because you can, I mean, it's not that expensive. You can download apps. If you have smart TVs, you just download the app on your TV. I have it on my tablet, on my phone. You can watch wherever you go.
I got a Chromecast, so I can either my computer or my phone just Chromecast it.
Is you've been jumped here. I don't think we can refute that. The NFL is the biggest opening day of a sport. Is baseball still top two?
Yes.
I think so. I think for this, the symbolism of it.
The general sports fan wakes up on today and says, hey, baseball's back.
The beautiful part about it is even if you're not a baseball fan, opening day means you're that much closer to summer.
Yeah.
Like this is, we're in spring, man. It's that time of year. The sun's out, nice days, longer days.
And that's when Major League Baseball a few years ago went back to, they took it off that one Sunday night game and then it staggered. Now all 30 teams, hopefully there's no weather anywhere in the country this year, but all 30 teams are scheduled to play.
I'm scrolling around. You want to know who's going to have bad weather today? Oh, we got some bad weather days, boys.
Okay, we don't need to do weather reports.
We want to do weather reports. It's 27 degrees in Detroit. It is 27 degrees in Chicago.
Swag, can you pull your own clip there of
31 in Denver?
If we have weather this year, I mean, yeah, there's going to be weather.
31 in Kansas City. So bundle up, boys.
As long as it's clear.
Opening night, NBA?
Yeah.
Well, you only usually have the two games on TNT. They have the two feature games, and then the next day, some teams don't play. Let's go.
Yeah, I think baseball, though, is such a different way of viewing for so many. I'm in early. I'm going to step away. Now I'm back. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, it's August. Is my team in the division?
Right. And I think the NBA has that, obviously, because their season's super long. But I think you're excited for your team's opening night. And then it's kind of like, that's one of 82.
Sure. The benefit that baseball has against the NBA is it's not happening in the middle of the NFL season. When you got that, people are a little distracted. It's like, oh, the NBA's back on. All right. But now it's like, hey, baseball's back. It's sweet.
And I don't know anything about the Giants, so I'll just bow down to your knowledge on it. But realistically, it's not the most surprising of things if the Giants somehow find themselves in a title conversation, whereas the NBA,
sure, you know, it's
that mantles 3 to 4 teams usually going into the year until things change.
Yeah, very true. Very
so,
true.
So happy opening day, everybody.
Feels good. Merry New Year.
We had a Merry New Year. We had a beautiful day yesterday in Portland. I drove all the way back to the station, parked, and took my kids on a nice little walk across the Tillicum Bridge.
There's great walking areas around here.
Watched the Blazer game out on the front porch with the outdoor TV.
I caught the second half of the Blazer game.
Well, that was the better half to catch.
Right. Yeah, they were losing at halftime. We'll dive into the Blazers. Not necessarily about that game. I couldn't care less about the Detroit Pistons win. Good little win. Move on. I want to talk about the Damian Lillard stuff because we didn't get to it yesterday. So we'll do that at 6:30. We've got a loaded show. Charlie Ward, former Heisman winner and NBA guard, is going to join us at 7 a.m. to talk all sports, NBA, NFL, college basketball. He's going to jump on at 7. And then Sam Monson, our good friend at Pro Football Focus, we'll dive in with all the offseason stuff with him coming up today at 8:15. We got the Daily Ticker, which I'm currently working on booking. It's going to be a fun show, a lot to get to. And we will start, as we always do, with the Morning Crunch next on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Pour the milk.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Did you have it?
Part of a nutritious breakfast?
Hamburgers. Hamburgers. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for the Morning Crunch. A look at the tastiest topics in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you here on this beautiful Thursday morning. It is time for the Morning Crunch, brought to you on the fan by our good friends out at Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month, why would you work out anywhere else? Multiple locations in the metro area, Alloa, Beaverton, Division, Vancouver. Find more info out at crunch.com.
Oposo, Montour, a shot kicked out by Lyon, the rebound, he scores!
For Brandon Montour. By the way, double celebration for Montour, not only is he scoring.
It was a nightmare, to say the least. Hard practice yesterday, a positive attitude, and a total turnaround tonight. Win number one as a head coach for Don Granato.
Yeah, good job, Don Granato, as the Sabres yesterday snapped their winless streak of 18 games. They beat the Philadelphia Flyers 6-1. Now, I view this as an 18-game losing streak. However, Swigart had to inform me with hockey.
Yeah, you can get a point.
You get a point if you get to the overtime period or shootout. And Buffalo had done that a couple times, but they just hadn't won a game.
Yes.
So they've snapped an 18-game winless streak.
Yeah, it's an 18-game winless streak. And they beat Philly to break the streak last night. The game previous to that, they were playing Philly. They had a 3-0 lead going into the third period, and they blew it and lost in overtime. So good to get that monkey off the back. Happy for Sabres fans.
It does seem, as Justice Kagan and Justice Gorsuch suggested, Justice Alito, the schools are conspiring with competitors, agreeing with competitors, I'll say that, to pay no salaries to the workers who are making the schools billions of dollars on the theory that consumers want the schools to pay their workers nothing. And that just seems entirely circular and even somewhat disturbing.
There's Brett Kavanaugh of the Supreme Court of the United States. You may have heard of him recently. He was taking on a hearing yesterday, and this is an ongoing story with the NCAA basically versus paying student athletes. This is not the name, image, likeness hearing, but very similar. And you heard him there. He basically saying, so wait, you think consumers want you to not pay the student athlete? Yeah. And yesterday they just destroyed the NCAA.
They did. I think it'll be curious to see, one, how long a verdict takes in this case, because some have speculated it might not come until July. And the other one is, it's important to remember that these justices will do this. They'll come out hard in the verbal argument area, and they'll take shots at both sides and be really aggressive. It does not always mean that's an indication of which way they're going to lean in a case. And this isn't about, you know, name, image, likeness, as you mentioned. It was about more resources for students and not capping the amount of money that a school could offer in terms of grants and supplies and that kind of stuff to an incoming student. And we'll see. It might take a couple of months to get a decision.
What do you think you showed the talent evaluators today, Kyle?
I think I showed them, you know, great strength in the bench press, being able to explode in my broad, and when it was time for the run my 40, I feel like I ran a good time. So just showing elusiveness in and out of breaks and answering all, you know, just checking all the boxes that, you know, haven't been checked.
I hear from folks in the NFL you're more Kelsey than Kittle. You cool with that?
I'm definitely cool with that. As somebody I try and model my game after, and I take tools from his game and try and add it to mine, you know, to make me a great player.
That's Florida Gator tight end Kyle Pitts, who is thriving off of his pro day. You look at a lot of the mocks, a lot of people think he's going to go 4 overall to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, an impressive 40 time, an impressive showing, and as many people have talked about, just one of the more impressive athletes that you have in this draft.
Yeah, don't be scared away by his kind of tween status. Is he a tight end? Is he a wide receiver? He is a special, special specimen, and he showed it yesterday at his pro day, and there's a chance he ends up being the first non-quarterback taken. Guy's going to be an absolute stud in the NFL. I just hope he goes to a good fit that can utilize his strength.
I talked to Griff. I talked to Trajan. Griff basically says to me, come down for a month if you still want to be traded. I give you my word. I'll get you to a situation that you like. We've had subsequently 4 conversations. Again, my agent talks to him, but I'm talking to Griff directly. That's how I wanted to handle this. Griff and I had a personal relationship, and obviously he did not honor his word. And again, that is not a slight on Dallas at all. You know, my understanding, basically from February on, once I was not traded at the aggregate deadline on February 2nd, my understanding all along was that I was going to get a buyout. And if I was going to be traded, it was going to be to a team in the Northeast where I was closer to home and I'd be able to see my family for the last, you know, 2 or 3 months of the season. Obviously, that didn't happen. Geographically speaking, of course, Dallas is further away from New York than New Orleans.
There's J.J. Redick airing it out on his podcast about David Griffin, the GM of the New Orleans Pelicans, and what he promised him and what ended up happening. He's airing out some dirty laundry, but overall, I still think, just so you look at a basketball standpoint, it worked out rather well for Redick because he gets to go play with Luka Doncic.
Yeah, Luka and Porzingis, they're playing good basketball right now. Maybe not a title favorite like he wanted to go try and be a part of. I think a lot of these guys, too, man, you get to that point, you'd probably rather get bought out. You get a chance to choose where you want to go in the open market. It happened to Drummond, it happened to LaMarcus, happened to Blake Griffin. I think J.J. Redick probably feels the same way of just give me the choice, because he would have had suitors. I mean, I don't know about that contract as is, but if you're getting him on kind of a vet minimum deal after a buyout, a lot of teams would have wanted his services.
When you say to the Northeast, so you put New York...
New York,
Boston,
but maybe a Boston.
It didn't seem like Brooklyn
shooter.
Was in it, but I'd rather go to Dallas and consider that more of a
title
contender.
It's probably closer to winning for sure than it would be.
Well, Trent's got to put it up after the turnover, and the bounce pops in as Maladon dribbled it off of his foot, and the carom went into the body. The opportunity alive, and you see the foot behind the line, and Trent Jr. gets the bounce.
Yeah, there's Raptors TV. Gary Trent hitting a 3 at the third quarter buzzer. The Raptors fall to the Thunder, but Gary Trent He had 31 points, a career high for him. Shout out to all the Toronto sports bettors. If you bet on the double-double Gary Trent stuff up there, he didn't come close. Two rebounds, two steals. Welcome to the double-double betting life.
Also, welcome to the life of Gary Trent Jr. His first couple of games, he goes 4 for 11, 8 points, 2 of 10, 6 points, has a slightly better night against Detroit, and they lost the other night, and then he goes for 31. That's the life of Gary Trent. He has grabbed a total in four games. He has grabbed a total, I believe, of 11 rebounds with the Raptors, and he has 5 assists in those four games.
It's our morning crunch brought to you on the fan by Crunch Fitness.
Doncic, another step back three. It's good. Luka Doncic on fire here in the second quarter. 24 points for the half.
Bang! Luka Doncic finishes with 36, 8, and 5. As you heard there from Mike Breen of ESPN, they were on ESPN last night. Mm-hmm. 24 in the first half, and the Mavs ended up rolling over the Celtics, 113-108. As you mentioned, they've been playing so much better in their last 16 or 17 games.
Yep.
And the Boston Celtics, what a GD nightmare their season is. It is not going well. And they fall, and they're two games under 500.
What's happening there? I mean, you follow it closer than I do.
Boston has a collective issue here. I think their personnel is a weird match. They needed to make a move, and they largely didn't make the right move. Evan Fournier, I think, finished with 6 points last night.
Yeah, 3 of 6, 6 points, and 31 minutes off the bench.
They put all their eggs that Evan Fournier was going to be Gordon Hayward 2.0, and I didn't see that when it happened. We'll see if he can adjust in. But they don't really have a good bench, and I'm not giving up on Tatum and Brown. They're too young and they're too good. There's something off there between those two guys. And they like each other. By all accounts, right. They're friends. But there's just something about the way that they go about their business. It's just not working very well for them this year.
That has to be one of the bigger surprises to me of the entire NBA season. The year they had last year, the young talent, how long they've been together. You just kind of always assume teams like that take the next step. Dude, they're behind Atlanta and New York and Charlotte in the Eastern Conference playoff picture.
Tatum has a lot of moments, too, from the games I've watched. They've also been worse defensively. Tatum has a lot of moments. He comes in and out of games. And I know some superstars are able to do that, but like if you can get back in, then it doesn't matter. He has shown that he's incredibly skilled and talented, but sometimes he allows other things to take him out. And I think Boston really suffers from that.
Nurkic, gorgeous find to Lillard for the backdoor cut. The Pistons need a timeout. Nurkic flares a backdoor pass to Powell. Here is Lillard, fakes Grant out of his shoes and sticks the three.
There's Jordan Kent on NBC Sports Northwest. The Blazers roll the Detroit Pistons. They were losing this game by one at the half, but they end up getting a comfortable win, 124-101. Damian Lillard with his 26th 30-point game, 33-10-4. And they beat probably the most depressing NBA team in the league, yeah. The Detroit Pistons. Then we're Minnesota. It's one of those two, but at least Detroit's got three championships.
Yeah.
But they're a depressing team to watch.
I think Mason Plumlee has a permanent tan. That was one of my observations last night. Just like a perma pink on his skin.
He's a tanning booth guy.
Is he a tanning booth guy? Okay, that totally makes sense. And this was a rough beat for me. At halftime, I bet like plus 750 that the Blazers were going to win by 16 to 20 points.
Ooh.
I felt great. They were up by like 18, pulled the starters, and then Harry Giles knocks down like a turnaround jumper on the block. What are we doing here? And then Toronto threw up an air ball in their last possession. Come on, man. They won by 23.
Detroit's so bad, Dirt just called them Toronto.
I did. They called Toronto. Detroit. They're that bad. And they cost me money. Come on, get a stop late. What are we doing?
Swag, quickly. Minnesota or Detroit, which one's more depressing?
Detroit.
Really? At least Minnesota currently has Anthony Edwards.
He averaged 24 in the month of March, but they've sucked for how long?
They have, but you pair that with another top five pick that they're going to get this year. At least there's a path forward there. Who's Detroit building around? Jeremy Grant? Who's a good player.
Minnesota's building around Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell and hoping Anthony Edwards.
I think it's Anthony Edwards now. The way he's played, isn't he slotted ahead of those
guys?
As
bad as the Eastern Conference is, you stink in that conference as bad as they do.
Yeah.
God, they are 21 games below 500.
Not pretty. Not pretty.
Not pretty, but good win. Blazers finished the road trip 4-0. We are going to talk some Blazers coming up next. Damian Lillard starting to be vocal in a way that he needs to be if he wants it to happen. That's next. Well, Damian Lillard is now finally doing what so many great players do. He is starting to publicly advocate for the league MVP. Now, he hasn't done this the way James Harden has done it. Harden was recently asked after another stellar performance in Brooklyn about league MVP, and he said, I am the MVP. And if you go look at the odds, he's got the second best odds right now in the NBA. Jokic is minus a 125. Harden plus 700. Embiid behind him. LeBron behind him. Giannis. And then there's Dame behind Giannis at plus 1,200 with Doncic on his heels at plus 16. No, Dame hasn't come out and said, hey, I'm the best player. I'm the MVP. But what if you noticed is if you follow Damian Lillard on social media, he is starting more and more the last couple games to give pub and notice to other people suggesting he's the league MVP. And we mentioned it in the morning crunch. Another 30-point game is 26th of the year. He has been lights out, added 10 assists. His team is tied right now with Denver. They don't hold the tiebreaker, so technically they're the sixth seed. And he's played a majority of this season without without CJ and without Nurk. So people look at the record, they take that into account, what he's done statistically. And Portland just keeping up with some of the better teams in the Western Conference. I also saw that from Yaya Dubin on Twitter, at JADubin5. Mm-hmm. He used some 538 metrics, and Portland gets blitzed more than any other team. 13% of the time in pick-and-roll situations, team throws blitzes at him, throwing two. Damian Lillard's been the most double-teamed guy in the pick and roll situation, to the point where now the average screen distance is going further and further back for them.
That's basically at half court at this point.
So they can try to free things up, create passing lanes and whatnot. But Damian Lillard starting to advocate for the MVP.
Look, I'm glad that he's doing that. He needs to fight for his candidacy. It's not him doing interviews or speaking out himself. It's mostly just retweeting or sharing messages if you follow him on Instagram. He's been doing that a lot lately and let people champion for you and just kind of hit him with the retweet. I think it's good for him to do it. I will lose a little respect in the award if James Harden is to win it this year. And it's not a knock on the numbers that he's putting up. It's not a knock on how good Brooklyn has been since he came over in that trade. If he wants to win it next year, or if the media wants to give it to him next year, if he's in Brooklyn all season, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But giving an MVP award to a guy who got fat and quit on his team and then demanded a trade to one of the best teams in the NBA only to become the immediate title favorites playing alongside another MVP who I know has been banged up, but another perennial all-star. I will lose some respect in the award, and I'm trying to hold out some hope that he's not actually going to win it. You want to throw his name in contention? Whatever, that's fine. But one guy has carried a roster to the fifth best record in the Western Conference, despite the fact that his second and third best players are basically out all season. He has continued to improve his game every single year of his career. He's number two in the league in scoring, behind only Bradley Beal, who's putting up some great numbers, but largely doing it in a kind of single-handed effort every night because his team sucks. Dame is having a career year, and he's done it without the two best wingmen around him. And he's not doing it jumping, ship to the best team in the NBA. So he deserves the nod over James Harden. If you want to debate Jokic, totally fine with that. Giannis is having another great year. It's funny to me that Steph's name doesn't get brought up. That has to be a win-loss thing. But he's having a terrific season as well.
Doncic. Can I push back on the Steph stuff?
Sure. I'm just throwing out other guys. Like, I'm fine debating all that stuff. But James Harden to me is just that. Like, that's a non-starter for him winning the MVP.
I don't have anything to add on Harden. I think how you shared is how I feel.
You can't get fat quit on a team, go run to play with two superstars, and then turn your game on and be the MVP.
Turn his game on. He's been playing the same level. He did this in Houston. We don't like James Harden. We don't like the style of play, and hate the Houston Rockets.
The last week got a little bad there, or the last 2 weeks,
no
I
doubt.
Should say.
I'm just saying, like, the way he did in Houston with those 2 weeks of fake gaining weight and then straight up quitting and not caring about his team. It's fuddy-duddy probably to some. No, thank you. I don't want to reward a guy. I thought it was bad enough he got rewarded by going to the team he wanted to go to, let alone giving the league MVP and saying, hey, you can quit for 2 weeks in a season and then we'll just hand this to you. The Steph stuff I'm going to push back on. Steph has had a great year, and obviously his team is entirely dependent on how good he is every single night. Welcome to the Damian Lillard life.
But
we saw this with Dame. Dame never got consideration. Now, Steph's stats always seem to be a little better than Dame's. That's okay. But this is what Dame has been doing. Great stats, barely an 8 seed, barely in the race for the playoffs. How did he get rewarded? He didn't.
You know, I think he had first team All NBA 1 year when they were the three seed. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they've always kind of scraped by to get into the postseason, and you get eliminated early. I'm not going to give Steph any credit there. His season, though, Damian Lillard's season has been remarkable. This is the best season of his career. I know last year he had that incredible run of 50-plus, 40-plus points or whatever that was. But this is the year, right? The story to me is not Portland, Detroit. Who cares? I missed half of that basketball game. I didn't miss anything. They were losing by one. They won the game by 23. The defense, I heard that and I saw that yesterday. Who cares? You played one of the worst teams in the NBA. The worst statistical offensive starting lineup in basketball is the Detroit Pistons. So
yeah, I watched most of that game. They're not good at basketball.
Sorry if I'm not going to go head over heels on what their defensive has been. The road trip broke out well for you. You've played four bad teams. You took advantage. The real test for them defensively is going to come in the next couple games. To me, that's not the story. The story is Damian Lillard's MVP. He's probably not at the top with Jokic. Jokic is out a great year. Denver is starting to kind of click here. Aaron Gordon addition, all that. But they're tied with Denver.
Right, you have the same record.
And that's the thing is we talk about Jokic, we, the media, and we act like Denver's the 2 seed in the West. They're not. They're the 5 seed, and Portland has the same record as them. And now Dame's got his full arsenal back with CJ, Norman Powell coming over, Yusuf Nurkic down low with Cantor as a backup, Rocco with just a fantastic month of March.
Yep, he's putting it together.
And here you are. And I think at some point Dame is kind of going this way anyway, but he's doing the retweet stuff. At some point, I think somebody's going to ask him and he's going to give the answer. Dame, where would you? I'm near the top, and he should be. Yeah. There is no argument against you. You can hold something against Harden. You can hold something against Embiid. You can hold something against LeBron. It really, to me, and I said this when LeBron got injured, it's a 3-horse race to me because I just cannot count Harden, and I hope that the voters don't. It's Jokic, Dame, and Giannis. And Giannis already got 2 in a row. Are voters really going to give him 3?
There's fatigue there for sure.
There is always voter fatigue. And I think you could, statistically speaking, he's having a monster year. Milwaukee's found the resurgence. But Damian Lillard's right here. And it's a pretty remarkable thing. It's a balancing act, I think, as a Blazer fan. Between they're not good enough. Can we win a title? Where are they going? How far are they going to go? And then also saying, God, we're lucky to have him. It's fun. He makes watching games fun. And I know I have this balancing act as a fan where nothing's good enough because I want to see them win a championship, but then also acknowledging how great and relevant he makes the organization.
He's going to have, and the team's going to have, a really big week ahead. If he plays well, they got Milwaukee on national TV Friday night here. You go to the Clippers next week. You go to the Jazz next week. Those are 3 chances for him and his MVP candidacy to take a jump if you win them, and he plays well. And it's 3 chances to show we're not just beating up on Detroit. We're not just beating up on Orlando. We can beat the best in the NBA. They're going to have three cracks at it in the next week.
Okay, I got a couple more things I want to share about Damian Lillard, the league MVP stuff. We'll do that. We got Charlie Ward coming up at 7 a.m. We could ask him where he would put Lillard in the MVP conversation as he'll join us at the top of the hour. We got a loaded show, a lot to get to, but Dame MVP talk is next on The Fan. Talking Damian Lillard MVP as he's starting to kind of signal to the world that he wants to get more consideration and he should get more consideration for this. Charlie Ward's going to join us coming up here at 7 a.m. To talk all things sports. Former Heisman winner, NBA point guard.
Yeah, 10-year NBA career.
Famously punched Kobe in the neck. He gave Kobe a 2-piece, man. That was a great fight. But Damian Lillard helps lead Portland to yet another win. They finish the road trip undefeated. They come back and they take on Milwaukee. They've got Utah on the schedule. It's going to start getting brutal for them a little bit. But he keeps having just a season after season, it gets better. And this year is no different than any other. He's got the most 30-point games in the league. His team is tied with Denver, but they're 6th in the standings. He's shooting percentages are amazing. His per 36 numbers are amazing. He's the clutchest player in the league. And yet I'm an NBA junkie. So I listen to a lot of podcasts and I read a lot of NBA things. And it's interesting because he's still not there on the national conversation. And I know that sounds such a local homer. How do we get our guy national? But in all seriousness, if you were not in the city where Damian Lillard's playing and you saw and watched Damian Lillard, you would think he'd be higher up in some regard, but he just isn't. He's not in this conversation yet. And I think that's what's vital about him speaking out, because you got a guy like Harden, who you and I are both lockstep, shouldn't get that based on what he did at the start of the year. And yet I would be willing to wager almost every national NBA guy would probably vote for him over Dame right now.
Yeah, I think the media narratives can sometimes take over the conversation, and that's kind of happening with Harden right now.
But tell me a year, Dirt, the media narrative didn't drive and
get the way it
works,
the MVP.
Right? Russell's triple-double.
Yeah.
Harden losing out on the MVP against Steph and Russ. Giannis, LeBron. Yeah. I mean,
and even go all the way back to guys that, you know, not wanting to vote for Jordan again and again and again to win the MVP. And you'd have random players, Karl Malone, or, you know, Barkley would win one. And
yeah,
it didn't mean that those guys weren't deserving. They had great years, but you could make the argument that Jordan was the MVP every single year, basically, of his pro career. And then that's where I'm hoping the narrative can kind of shift. The Jokic stuff, I get it, man. He's top 10 in, I think, almost every major category. Denver is having a good year. I do ponder at times why it isn't considered that they have the same record and his second and third best players worn out basically the entire first half of the season. Like, that's something, if I'm an MVP voter, I'm thinking about. If Jokic had to do it without Murray and Porter the entire first half and they still were 10 games above 500, I'd give him a little bit slighter nod. But I think Dame, when you use the word valuable, I guess we can all differentiate how we want to define the MVP award, but when I'm looking at just the value to the league, to the team, your skill as a player, it's hard for me to find one that slots ahead of Dame, at least as of this point. We'll see how the rest of the year goes. And I think what would change the narrative, hopefully in his favor, is what they have coming up. I mean, the schedule, we talked about it at the All-Star break, is going to be pretty tough in the second half. You had this easy road trip that they've now taken care of business that was a lose-lose situation. If you lose the game, the sky's falling. If you win, well, you're supposed to win by 23. Now it's going to start tightening up again. And not only that, are you playing tougher teams, but also I think in the next two-ish, you know, 2.5 weeks, you got like 4 or 5 games on national TV, a couple on NBA TV. You got a week where you're playing Tuesday against Boston at home on TNT, a Tuesday at home against the Clippers the next week on TNT. So you got chances on national TV. And I unfortunately think that's just a reality of Portland, that sometimes these games are out of sight, out of mind. Like, yeah, he was great, but it happened at 10:30 at night on the East Coast, or 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast when you're starting games after 7. And he's going to have a chance here, I think, in the next couple of weeks to climb the ladder a little bit, if you will.
You think anything gets held against him? Not in the he's not a good enough player sense, but in like maybe playoff success.
I think that does. I think saying you can't get over the hump to an NBA Finals, but I would argue
Harden hasn't done it.
One, I mean, I guess he's been to more conference finals than Dame. So if you want to count that, I'd say he's been on better teams than Dame. But that doesn't get held against Jokic. Jokic has reached the same ceiling as Damian Lillard in his career.
Harden's been to more conference finals?
Hasn't he been to multiple conference finals?
Aside from the Warrior one,
didn't they make it twice in Houston? He made it. I think a Dwight Howard team made it to the conference finals, didn't they?
I thought they got.
They came back against the Clippers in the second round when they benched him, ironically. The Warriors swept
them
out.
That's right, because that was going to be Chris Paul's first time in a conference finals.
Right,
they blew through on it. You're right. Yeah. My apologies. So he got there twice. So
he'd been two, if you want to count the first one. He had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but he also has that Game 7 stain on him.
Yes, he does.
You got a 3-2 lead against the Warriors. You had a lead and you missed 20. You were one of five players to miss 27 straight shots from three. Yeah. That being said, I don't know, man. I just, there's nothing more this guy can do. There really is. And we all marvel at it here because we watch all the games and we know, I mean, you just know the team's a little better than people outside of your market, right? If the Blazers sucked, and look, sometimes they do, we're honest about it. But when they're 11 games over 500, and the star player who's been a first-team All-NBA guy in his career, when he's doing what he's doing, there is a party that's like, hey, wake up, recognize what this is. And you mentioned it. Like, Porter had some COVID stuff in Denver, got off to a rough start, and he has since turned it around. But you're right. I mean, Jokic had Murray, and that's a West Finals team. So maybe it's recency thinking or bias or whatever.
Look what they did last year.
But I don't know how you watch Portland at all and don't recognize that two of their three best players are out, and without Damian Lillard, this team is a lottery team.
Right?
For
it
all
would
the
be that bad.
For all the positives about the role guys, they're nothing without this dude. And call it, you know, homerism, whatever. I just think sometimes it's you want to scream from the mountaintops like, hey, He's literally the only thing making this team relevant.
Yeah, my last thing on this, I'm going to continue to cape up for it for the last, you know, six or whatever weeks of the regular season. I don't know how realistic it is for Dame to get a great shot at winning a title in his career. I would love to see it, but it's the NBA, and there's a few teams that will always control that conversation every single year. That's the way it's been the entire history of the NBA, right? So I don't know how realistic that is. This would be a huge thing to add to his mantle and a huge thing to add to his legacy. That's a
big thing for the team, too.
Big thing for the team. They haven't had an MVP. Walton's the only one, right?
Drexler got second one.
But Walton's the only one that's ever won it. That was 4 years ago, right? Going back to 78. So to add that to the mantle, to be the first Blazer to do it in that long, it would be a big deal just in terms of showing him the respect that he deserves.
He's going to have a chance, as you said, with the schedule coming up. You got the Clippers. You got Utah. You've got Milwaukee tomorrow. So yeah. A good opportunity here. I think Embiid's out of it. Do you?
Yes, with the injuries. I think LeBron's out of
LeBron's
it because of the injuries.
Out of it.
I think it's really it's a three-man race. If I'm being honest with the media angle, I think it's Dame, Jokic, and Harden. I don't think they're going to give it to Giannis a third time.
Yeah, I'm probably with you there. We'll see what happens. Damian Lillard right now is like the fourth or fifth best odds to win the league MVP. All right, hour number two, straight ahead. We kick it off with former Heisman winner and NBA guard Charlie Ward. We'll do it next on The Fan.